The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. This is not Mike Heck or Jed Meshew or A.K. Lee or any of the other ragtag group of misfits you're used to seeing slash hearing on MMA Fighting's post shows. They're all off doing God knows what. So you have the taped together post-fight show panel, I guess you could say, of I am Jose Youngs. Of course, you recognize my voice from Anything But Fighting, the former RIP, the A-side live chat, and other, obviously, BTLs and all that kind of sorts and stuff. But joining me, Stephen Morocco, one of the deputy editors, editor-in-chiefs, whatever you want to call him. I don't know your exact title, MMA Fighting. You watched a lot of Fighting Without Gloves tonight, so we'll get your reactions to that. You haven't been on one of these in a minute. Welcome back. And of course, Casey Lydon on the ones and twos. He also watched a lot of fist fighting with kicking and without kicking, with gloves and without gloves. So without further ado, let's get into it. We'll kick off with what I guess the most of the combat sports world is talking about, and that is BKFC 41 in Denver, or is it Denver, Broomfield, wherever it is, Colorado. It happened in Colorado. Mike Perry fought Luke Rockhold in the main event in a fight that, when they announced it to me, felt like it was a fever dream. It was not. The fight actually happens. There were no gloves involved. Something weird happens, and we were trying to figure it out before we went live. Luke Rockhold motioned to the referee, said something was wrong with his mouth, his jaw, whatever it was. The referee waved it off. Mike Perry remains undefeated. He gets the TKO win over Luke Rockhold and then called out Conor McGregor, Donald Cerrone, a whole bunch of other people that were sitting cage side. Conor McGregor held the BKFC title. He faced off with Mike Perry. Lots of things happened. So, Steven, what is your immediate reaction to what we witnessed in Colorado?
It was fun. I mean, what can I say? It was, there was all this stuff, Conor McGregor being in the building, you know, calling out the bigger names. This is the way that they build themselves. This is, you know, having Conor in the building is big for their brand. It helps them build brand awareness. And I think that's what they're trying to do, to attract the bigger talent, to show the world that they could be a legitimate competitor. They've stayed in business this long, and they appear to be trending in the right direction. You know, whether the business can actually sustain it is the long-term question. But it was just a fun, the pacing was really good. The fights, if they weren't finishes, they were exciting decisions. The co-main event was great. And then the main event was a little bit weird, but I wasn't necessarily expecting anything different with Luke Rockhold, given where he's at in his career, given what I've seen from him in the past, 2 years, in the fight back that he had with Costa, and then tonight, and all the hijinks before. So I wasn't necessarily shocked that the fight didn't end conclusively.
Yeah, it wouldn't be BKFC without some sort of tomfoolery. I'm glad you brought up the co-main event. Eddie Alvarez picked up the split decision win over Chad Mendes in a fight I think most people consider to be, of all the fights this weekend, that one generated the most buzz post-fight on social media. It was obviously a hell of a fight. You put Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendes in any sort of combat sport, it's going to be a great fight. Eddie Alvarez had two knockdowns. Chad Mendes had two knockdowns. Chad Mendes came out strong. Eddie Alvarez finished strong. And then Chad Mendes announced his retirement. Eddie Alvarez declares this is going to be the future combat sport. So you touched upon it briefly, Stephen. What did you make of the co-main event? It was obviously one of the more thrilling moments we've seen in BKFC in quite some time.
I thought Eddie was... So he started slow. It was kind of actually close to my prediction. He tends to start slow and tends to get clocked. And he didn't... I think he was the first one to get dropped, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he got dropped in first or second round.
Right. So essentially we're watching an Eddie Alvarez fight. Like he starts slow, he gets dropped, and then he comes back on strong, shows everybody how tough he is. I actually thought he lost the fight, but I had it 47-46 the other way. But then again, I don't have any problem with that scorecard. And I think that it was kind of a classic Eddie Alvarez fight in the way that the trajectory of the fight tended to favor him as things were going later. He picked up the pace. He adjusted to the way Chad exploded into range, and he started using his best weapons and measuring distance a lot better. It was kind of interesting watching him adjusting in the ring to what Chad was doing, which was kind of one note in many respects with the way that he closes distance, ducks in, and explodes in with those overhands. So I thought that Eddie was a real pro and got the nod this time around, and now I guess moves on to his next thing, which, you know, they can leverage him while they've got him. They've got a bunch of UFC stars on the tail end of their career. Let's, you know, put him in there with somebody big, try to build someone else.
Casey, I'll bring you in here. Obviously, you've watched Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendes throughout their MMA careers. What did you think of their performance without the gloves and without the kicking and all the other fun stuff that comes with MMA?
It was freaking awesome.
It was.
it was just freaking awesome. This fight doesn't take anything away from their MMA careers at all, or it doesn't like raise it or lower, I don't know, their standing in their careers as MMA fighters, but they just I hate saying it, but like the fans won tonight in terms of that fight. It was fun. They both looked both those gentlemen looked much more comfortable in there than Luke Rockhold. How about that? Luke Rockhold going, oh, this is very different from mixed martial arts. Eddie Alvarez, I knew Eddie would be fine in there, even though he's never technically done this professionally. And Chad Mendes, we've already seen him fight before in the bare knuckle circle. But just both gentlemen looked great. It was a super competitive fight. I think it could go either way, but it's bare knuckle. I don't think it really matters. It's almost like pro wrestling. As long as this is entertaining, and we felt both men just put it all out there, which I completely think they did. Just a win. And it made up for the bit of, you know, anticlimactic ending for the main event, which is going to happen in a bare knuckle fight. Think weird things happen with the Ferreira Beck Rawlings. We'll talk about that later. I guess the Ferreira Beck Rawlings fight ending in a unfortunate cut. And then, you know, the main event ending really before it kind of got the takeoff. But the co-main event made the night, and just terrific fight. Five rounds, so exciting. I loved it. And happy trails, Chad Mendes.
So then I'll ask both of you this. Realistically, no crazy fantasy matchmaking, who do you think Eddie should fight next in BKFC? It could be someone unsigned that's floating around. It could be someone on the roster. I don't think there's a wrong answer, obviously, because it's BKFC.
What was this fight at? 165?
Yeah.
Around there?
Kevin Lee?
He's back in the UFC.
Man, free agents.
That's tough.
I'm not super familiar with the roster, but if we're bringing some, yeah, I mean, Mike Perry? Why not Mike 170? Mike Perry? I don't know.
Why not? Mike Perry. If they want to do the Cowboy Cerrone rematch, and
if Cowboy wants to make a few bucks, I would like to see Cowboy versus Mike Perry. I would like to see Cowboy versus a great rematch, actually, with Eddie Alvarez, because that was, of course, Eddie Alvarez's first fight in the UFC. Clearly, that wasn't the best Eddie Alvarez, and maybe we got the best Cowboy, you know, of that night. But if they can get Cowboy in there, you know what? But
how about the rubber match with Aoki? What a dream! Let's get the rematch with Kawajiri going in BKFC. Let's just have him go through his entire gambit of rivals he's had. Rematch Gilbert Melendez in BKFC. What's he doing?
Yeah, dude, Gilbert Melendez with those. That would be wild to see. I never even thought about watching that. But that's kind of the magic of bare knuckle.
I know
that all of a sudden they'll put these fights together, and at first you're like, what? And then like a week later, you're like, oh, this is a fight I have to see. I don't know why, but I have to see it. Like when I was watching Chad Mendes and Eddie Alvarez go at it, I'm like, we've talked on hundreds of podcasts. I never once remember us going, man, we got to see Chad Mendes, Eddie Alvarez fight. But yet we saw it tonight, and I don't want to get too excited, but like that was one of the best bare knuckle fights, one of the best fights we've seen in a while. I mean, I would argue, I haven't seen them all, but that was the highest level bare knuckle fight I think maybe has ever existed in the universe. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's just as pure martial artist fighters. I mean, it was fun. It was just fun. I'm kind of rambling, so I'm just by the event. Mm-hmm. It was just a wild thing.
I think we're just desperate for fun. I think that's the lesson here. That's the takeaway. Mm-hmm. Like whatever BKFC does, they tend to tap into our audience and get us engaged, because while these matchups may not be realistic in the real world, they're fun when you put them together. You know, when you don't give them, like clearly you give Chad Mendes some space to grow out and you put him in there with Eddie. They were like, why didn't these guys ever fight? Cause they were in different weight classes. I mean,
right.
But with the shackles off, so to speak, there's room for all this, and there's tons of aging vets that need to make money and want to get a raise. And that's what BKFC is here for at this point. And I mean, just like the fact that we're so overjoyed by this event just speaks also to like what was going on in the other end of the MMA world, like how stale everything has become, you know, with the UFC cards, and how terrible that card was on paper. And I didn't watch it, but like you guys can, this may be a segue here. In reality, was it as terrible as it looked on paper?
It was, the main event was very good. Outside of that, it was a lot of early prelim fights on like a pay-per-view. It was a card it was a contender series card.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
If we want to jump to the UFC card real quick, yeah,
We'll get into the UFC in a second. I want to close the BKFC talk. I'm going to ask both of you about two different fights. Steven, I'm going to start with you. Of course, I have to ask you about Ben Rothwell's fight. Obviously, it was a corner stoppage, if I remember correctly. His corner threw in the towel, Josh Copeland. Yes. It was how he survived those rounds is beyond me. That dude was taking an absolute mauling by Ben Roth. What did you make of that performance?
Again, I thought it actually went pretty close to what I expected, in that Copeland is a smaller guy who would have a little bit of speed on Ben. Ben was very predictable in the way that he moved in, and so he got clipped an awful lot. But Ben actually did some really intelligent stuff, like in the midst of his sort of plotting attack, really threw Copeland off at a couple of points. And one point in particular, I remember it very clearly, he hit him in the transition. Mm-hmm. When Copeland was circling off, and Copeland didn't see it, and it rattled him. And then Ben immediately closed the distance and started to turn up the pressure. And I have talks with Ben a lot. And I tell him, you know, you're at your best when you interrupt people's rhythm, when you punch on the brakes, when you don't give time for people to set up, when you hit people when they're not going to expect, when they don't expect to be hit. And he did exactly that. And then from there, the guy is just so big and so brutal, and his fists are such lunchboxes. And the rule set allows him to collar tie. That's just going to be a rough night for anybody, you know? So very impressed by what he did. Also very happy to hear that he is going to hang it up with the next one. He called out
Belcher.
Sorry,
the champion.
Belcher.
Yeah.
Great. Another. Now, who won't watch that amongst us? Who isn't super psyched for that? That's a super fun, bulked up, beefy beefcake Alan Belcher, you know, against legitimately huge Ben Rothwell. Great. I love it.
Is Belcher a Milwaukee guy?
He was Mississippi.
Rufus Fort.
He's a Mississippi guy.
But he trained at Rufus Fort.
I think he did.
Yeah.
At one point.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely did. But, man, Alan Belcher versus Ben Rothwell is another fever dream that courtesy of BKFC.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Casey, I'll go to you. Women's flyweight championship fight. Christian Ferreira defeated Beck Rawlings, Dr. Stoppage. Didn't quite know what was happening until it happened. Christine obviously looks very, very good. There was a lot of animosity going into this fight. I think it felt very one-sided with Christine. Beck seemed to just be all about the business. What did you think of the fight and the stoppage?
I thought it was a great fight, honestly. Beck Rawlings, I think, held her own. Unfortunate ending, but that's how with bare knuckle you're going to get lots of cuts. That's just the nature of the game. Unfortunately, her cut was in a really bad spot, but I did have Ferreira up two rounds, but it was two competitive rounds and Rawlings was in the fight. I thought both women did a great job. Well, mostly Ferreira did a great job promoting the fight and kind of getting the animosity. And that's just how she is. Beck did her thing, but I think the ladies held their own tonight, and it was unfortunate that we kind of missed out three more rounds of awesomeness. But yeah, Ferreira's great. She's like much like Mike Perry, seems to be made for this. And not too much to say.
BKFC has their current champions. They have a crop of individuals who it just seems like they are. They got Lorenzo Hunt. They got Luis Palomino. They got Mike. Well, Mike Perry's not a champion. Mike Perry, Christian Ferreira, just, and Bertrand Hart, just, yeah, built for this sport. Talking about who Eddie Alvarez fight, how he has not fought Luis Palomino, or at least signed a contract to fight Luis Palomino at some point in their careers, is wild, considering how many of those Bellator tournaments I think Luis Palomino was in. And his two insane fights with Justin Gaethje are just still top of my list.
Do we even talk about freaking Conor McGregor?
That's how it's going to end. To segue into the UFC. Conor McGregor. Not only was Conor McGregor there, he showed up right before the ladies' title fight, shadow boxed the entire time, entered the ring, held the belt, faced off with Mike Perry, screamed, "I've never retired. I'll never retire. I fight you too." And then said all respects, and then they interviewed Conor McGregor. BKFC interviewed Conor McGregor. What a world we live in. What a world we live in. Steve, what did you think of the circus? When you saw Conor there, I was pretty much just counting down the time of when BKFC was going to try to get a microphone in front of him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they didn't call him there or pay him some sort of appearance fee in the first place, you know, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. But, you know, if they didn't, hey, great. As I said, brand building, great publicity. Conor McGregor, the ambassador of famous fighters, you know, in your show, giving you the rub, shouting you out, you know, giving you this moment, can only help build the sort of circus. But it's kind of like when Conor started crap at Bellator. Remember the entire
when he was wearing the bear suit.
The bear suit?
If when he jumped the cage, if you look at the hoodie, it was literally the head of a bear, but it was like a hyper realistic bear. It looks like he had skinned a bear and made it into a hood.
So yeah, exactly like that. Exactly. But the point is, it all just became about Conor. Because it has to, you know, this is the way you build your brand. And again, it just completely insane, but fun and kind of like, it's not predictable. It's not like the UFC's product, which is so predictable at this point. So these are the things for us who watch this stuff week in and week out. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Casey, what do you think Dana White and Michael Chandler are thinking right now, seeing Conor McGregor running around the BKFC ring?
Well, I'm sure Dana is playing blackjack with a YouTuber right now, and someone's handing him a phone. He's like looking at it. You know,
I'm sure there's a camera on him.
Yeah, there's a camera on him. I mostly want to kind of focus on Mike Perry and just like.
Yeah.
What a freaking star. Because Mike Perry made that moment too. Mike Perry just had an awesome fight, just won. And it was Mike Perry that brought Conor in there. And he brought Conor in there in a friendly kind of way. You know, it wasn't like, let's fight. It was more, you know, they were going to get each other's face, you know. But you never had – it wasn't that kind of energy. A fight could break out any time, which is good. I'm glad the card didn't need that. I'm glad Bare Knuckle is – I'm hoping they're definitely trying to get away from that type of – energy, I guess. But just credit to Mike Perry for making that happen. Credit to Conor for grabbing the moment. Congratulations on Conor on his championship belt. It was a great great performance from Conor. I think Steven really hit it. It's fun. I didn't care the Mendez Alvarez fight. I don't think anyone really cares who won the fight. Because I'm pretty sure these guys aren't paid on a show win, but it's just a flat fee because they're mm-hmm. professional fighters. That's how it should be. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun. I mean, I don't know who the bare knuckle roster is. I can't name the next four people ready to fight Mike Perry I thought Mike Perry was the champion. I guess he's not the champion. I have no idea, but.
He does have a belt.
Still Lorenzo Hunt. Like I couldn't recognize Lorenzo Hunt, honestly. I've seen a fight, but I wouldn't actually know who he is. But that's not really important. As long as, I don't know, it's fun, it's unexpected. And it was still, most importantly, high level combat sports tonight. It wasn't, this wasn't trash fighting. This wasn't slap fighting. This wasn't some BS combat sport. It's like they're doing it in there, and like these are highly trained fighters, and so we're getting this is a great thing. Oh, I want to mention too, I did the AK poll, and I I asked who had the better card tonight, UFC Vegas or Bare Knuckle, and with 84%.
Yep. Wow.
84% Bare Knuckle had the better card tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I
don't want to give any away trade secrets, but it reflected in our traffic.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so
I am sure.
I mean, one's saying Bare Knuckle is going to overtake UFC tomorrow. I think that Bare Knuckle put their best foot forward. UFC put something forward, and this is what happens. And the fans, I think, appreciated it.
Yeah, it feels like one of those moments where right now, and I think about this when I'm at UFC events, like BKFC is, we're real high on BKFC, and Bellator would do something that we're really high on, like the initial, like AJ McKee Pitbull, like the Grand Prix that just had like the perfect ending, and then the UFC just puts on that pay-per-view in Miami that's just bananas and it just blows everything out of the water. But looking at the BKFC roster, there are a lot of names that I bet you would assume are on this roster, Casey. Like Houston Alexander is on this roster, and Charles Bennett is on this roster. So, yeah, I don't know any of these people. I know a few of them, though, and I want to see Houston Alexander fight again. But anyway, Casey, we'll start with some UFC. We have to talk about the UFC. It was a fight card. It was exactly what you would think this fight card would be. Song Yadong versus Ricky Simone. And a lot of people on the site, not the host, but a lot of people on the site seem to think that bantamweight is the best fight, the best weight class in all of MMA, maybe even all of combat sports. Well, Ricky Simone versus Song Yadong is an incredibly high-level bantamweight fight, and it was an incredibly entertaining fight. So, Casey, I know you watched it. Steven said he was on BKFC duty, so he didn't get to tune in. What'd you think of Song Yadong's performance against Ricky Simone?
I thought it was fantastic. I picked Song to win tonight. I thought he's a fighter that's improving. He showed up tonight. Once Ricky Simone could not take down Song, and especially when he did take him down, Song got up very quickly. You kind of knew there was no real chance for Ricky Simone to win. Ricky Simone was going to have to at least really slow down and threaten Song with takedowns. He just couldn't, especially after maybe the second round. And it was just pretty much one-way traffic from, like, I don't know. With the round, did it end in the fifth round? When did it end? Yeah, fifth round. Song Yadong looks great. Ricky Simone is obviously top 15 bantamweight, but being like I'm one of those people, I think bantamweight is the best division worldwide. And the reason I say that is because I think it's kind of important to note that I don't think there's ever really going to be a true GOAT of bantamweight, the bantamweight division. There's not going to be no Khabib. Like, well, no one beat him. Like, there's going to be no John Jones, no GSP of the bantamweight division. I know we had Cruz for a little bit, but I think that division is just so incredibly competitive that even though on my rankings worldwide, I think Song is maybe top, I may be in the top 10, but I honestly believe on the right night, he could beat Sterling. He could beat Merab. He could beat Patchy Mix. But also, Patchy Mix could beat those guys too. Like, that's how competitive I think 1 through 12, whatever, worldwide in the bantamweight division. That's how good these gentlemen are getting. And Song Yadong, I think, 25 years old, is just getting better. And yeah, it was just great performance tonight from him. And I think people put a little too much. I think people forgot how good Corey Sandhagen was, because I know commands this fight.
100% they forgot.
Yeah, you just forgot. Yeah, because I thought Song was going to be the favorite. I was kind of surprised when I saw the line. And it's not disrespect to Ricky Simone, but I just saw higher potential with Song Yadong. And yeah, he got his butt kicked by Corey Sandhagen, but it's freaking Corey Sandhagen, you know? So
I just think if you go back and rewatch that fight, that was pretty one-way traffic for Corey. Mm-hmm. I feel like Corey just was clicking all cylinders in that fight, and Ricky Simone had just like pieced up Jack Shore. So I didn't agree with the line, but I understand why they did that, because it's just untrained. Like, people just forgot. Because I feel like by the third round, Song was finding so much success with that right hand that it was just a matter of time before one of them found And he sat him down twice. Like, I think he sat him down right at the end of the fourth and then right away in the fifth with the same punch. And
yeah, he started taking over in the fourth and finally, like, within the last 2 seconds, dropped him hard. And then, then it was just the fifth round was just.
And I do agree with you. I think Dominic Cruz is just kind of accepted as like the default best ever.
You have to have someone, I guess.
But I think for a long time, it was just kind of like BJ Penn was just the accepted lightweight goat for years because he just had the title defense record and Benson would climb the ladder and lose and Tony Ferguson never got his title shot. Not Eddie Alvarez. There was obviously a bunch of others, but I think Umar could be on his way to being the best ever. He's an undefeated Dagestani. He's very, very talented.
Maybe he'll be that Khabib of the bantamweight division. We don't know yet, but that's how.
Stipe is widely considered to be the greatest UFC heavyweight ever because he has the title defense record. What's the record of bantamweight? 3? 4? Like, if that, because Dom just didn't get to defend it. Like, if the guy who defends it 3-4 times is going to be the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like, just how it is.
Yeah.
Called out, and then I don't know if you heard his call outs. He called out Sean O'Malley, which every bantamweight does, or Chito Vera. He said, let's fight again. They obviously fought on that first jet when the pandemic had first hit, and it was me, John Morgan, and Oscar Willis were the only media members in this giant venue, and we got to have private MMA, and everyone else had to tune in, and a bunch of people text me about signing a contract that we don't have to get into that story all over again.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was a good time in my life. But Song won. It was very controversial. Chito was a very poor sport after that, and he said, let's fight again. So I honestly think that fight makes sense. As soon as the fight was over, I was like, hey, Chito and Song part two, but make it a 5-round main event this time. I'm all for it.
I got no issues with that. Makes sense.
No issues.
I thought Song won the first fight. I know there was controversy on it. I am aware it was very close and competitive. I still thought Song won. But rematch it.
The bonuses were, unfortunately, there was no fight of the night. I thought the main event would get fight of the night. I feel bad for Ricky Simone. Song got one. Cabo Helio got one. Co-main event cow just keeps getting co-main events and just keeps on winning. And he beat the soul out of Michael Olajejic. That was one-way traffic. Adolfo Vieira looks like he was about to get knocked out in the first 30 seconds of the fight. And then as most Adolfo Vieira fights go, he looks absolutely exhausted and then chokes out Cody Brundage and then just burst into tears. And then Marcus McGee, Marcus McGee is the guy that took the fight on less than a week's notice, maybe had to be a catchweight fight against Jurrien Newsome and choked him out in the second round. And it was very much a performance of why weren't you in the UFC already? Like, he looks like a UFC fighter. He was clearly the better fighter right out of the gate. Yeah. Just,
I didn't get a chance to see that fight at all. So McGee looked great.
McGee looked very good. Like, he should have not even have been a contender series guy. He should have just been in the UFC. Like, Sean O'Malley was, I guess he's an Arizona guy. Sean O'Malley was tweeting about it. Irina Alexeva, I think that's the Russian Ronda, whatever it's called. She got a very impressive knee bar, but she had missed weight. So she, of course, didn't get the performance bonus. Other than that, a couple sloppy heavyweight fights. Cody Durden and Charles Johnson was fun, but Cody just kind of controlled Charles Johnson. Charles Johnson has 5 fights in 12 months. That dude needs to take a break.
I was like, where do I know this Marcus McGee? I realized that his actual last loss was to one of my teammates, Hoffa. Yeah. And I was like, and that's how crazy and just timing is everything in prize fighting. Mm-hmm. Hoffa beat him and then wind up winning his next fight, then wind up losing the LFA championship bout. But yet the guy he beat, 6 months ago is now in the UFC and won $50,000. It's just, sorry. I was like, where do I know that name from? Okay.
It was, Marcus took this fight on 5 days notice because it's supposed to be Brian Kelleher. Best wishes to Brian Kelleher, whatever's going on with you too, by the way, we don't really know. Fernando Padilla looks real good.
Get punished for the weird stoppage?
I think that was it. So, Steven, you should actually go back and watch this fight because I'm curious what other people think of the stoppage because he was beating the soul out of Julian Arosa and connecting with everything between the eyes, 4-punch combo, dropped Julian twice. to the point where Julian's eyes rolled to the back of his head. His butt hit the canvas and was right up, though. Like, it felt like he was unconscious at two points in that fight. And then the second or third time he got sort of clipped, he was still defending himself, but the referee was like, that's enough. And then immediately protest. A lot of people were very upset with the stoppage because Julian was very clearly mentally there, but if you see the whole fight, it was a weird stoppage.
I hated that stoppage because we're talking about the stoppage.
I know.
And because of that stoppage, that is the reason Padilla is not walking home with extra 50K, because he was about to get a great knockout. Maybe. Yeah. It was a good chance.
He had hit Julian going backwards. He had hit Julian going forwards, and he was connecting with everything.
But Julian Rosa fights like that too. I mean, unfortunate, and it cost Padilla $50,000, because I was like, I was kind of surprised when he told me he didn't get the bonus. I was like, they'll still give it to him, I guess. But nope, they don't. UFC, they'll punish you for an early stoppage, essentially.
Like they did Jermaine Duranemi and Aspen Ladd.
Yep, there you go. I always bring that one up too. Yep.
He is 26 years old, 15-4, from Juarez, Mexico. Wow, that's where my mom's from. Speaks perfect English, though, so a guy that can build up. But other than that, Casey, anything else stand out to you about this UFC card?
She missed weight, but the personality of, Irina Alexeva.
Her nickname is Russian Ronda.
I don't know if she's any good or not, honestly, but just a great personality. And I'm going to give her a mulligan for the weight miss. I'm assuming she had a long flight. Things happen. I get it. So next, it was a very sweet arm knee bar that she did on Edgar. Outside of the main event, because it's a bantamweight division, it's so incredibly shallow. Any sort of light or just newness to it is exciting. So Irina looked good, and she had the who was in her corner? Spivak was in her corner.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess she comes from a good camp, and Vieira is Vieira and how do you say his name? Cal Borgelio?
Yeah.
Borgelio. Yeah. I'd like to see that match. I mean, maybe which Cal's fight? Rodolfo Vieira and Cal.
Yeah. I think Cal might be a little first, because he's like 4-0.
Yeah, he has a loss. Yeah. Yeah. Once he loses, they'll match up.
I had put out the idea, because he wants to fight this summer, and at middleweight, we need some new names. I had floated the idea of having him fight Chris Weidman this summer, because Chris Weidman is coming back this summer. 4-0, 5-0 prospect. Chris Weidman needs to
that
come back.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
That's a classic UFC play.
I don't hate it. Like, he should have a number next to his name, like whether it's 15, 14, whatever. Chris Weidman wants to come back after shattering his leg. I don't hate it. His last technically Kyle's last loss in any martial art was in Submission Circus 1 to Jailton Almeida. So it happens. Fun fact, though, Irina Alexeva was on the YouTube prelim card of the Fedor versus Tim Johnson.
She was? Okay.
Yeah. So obviously that's where you remember her from. Don't have to tell you about that part. Anyway, anything else you guys want to say, Steven, before we wrap up? Any other names on the BKFC card really stand out to you besides the ones that we talked about?
Well, is Luke Rocco going to retire? Is that the thing? How do people Rockhold? Feel about that? Yeah, is he retiring?
Oh God, I hope they don't.
Assuming he has a badly broken jaw. Assuming that is like, I'm gonna give Luke credit that Luke's a tough dude, professional fighter. That his jaw must have been severely broken for him to say no mas in the fight. Is he gonna retire? No. Someone will throw a slightly smaller bag of money at him, and he would take one more fight. With punching, I don't know.
Anything could be anything.
I would like to see him in a high end grappling tournament. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever the ones, whatever. I don't really keep up grappling tournaments that much, but I know they're popular. So hopefully maybe he can get back to his grappling roots. That'd be cool. But I don't think we'll see him back at Bare Knuckle next.
No. Let's have him just do fun. Let's have him do a weird submission match against Goran Ryan. Let's just do that. Let's just do something stuff like that. But it was his jaw, and he did break his jaw against Jan. And it does remind me of when Cub Swanson broke his jaw against Max Holloway. And then a couple fights later, he had a quick tap. I think it was to Moicano, because he said once he felt his jaw kind of shift again, he freaked out and tapped, because you don't want to do that again.
The recovery was so miserable. Like nothing was worth it. Yeah.
So I'm sure Luke might not have a broken jaw. It's just the fear of breaking his jaw again. Might be.
You know what? If that's the case, then Luke should kind of hang it up, because you can't have that fear and want to be a high level prize fighter. Honestly, you just can't. Like, this is, I don't know. That's part of the game.
I bet he goes, he's just going to go into regular boxing. Remember, he was all gung ho on fighting the Paul brothers, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's fighting Mike Perry.
God, I hope not. I hope he doesn't go into regular boxing.
Maybe we'll get Anderson Silva versus Luke Rockhold in boxing. And then, or we can get Chris Weidman Rockhold 2 in BKFC. There you go. I'm just making.
See, on that note,
that's that balance with Bare Knuckle is like, how do we have fun without being sad? You know, so I guess that's what that's the balance they have to find. And
yeah, and I would say that like they've had plenty of sad moments. They've had plenty of guys that shouldn't have been in there. Plenty of guys that got licensed that probably shouldn't have gotten licensed. So I'd like to see them pivot away from that, and like you said, walk that line to where we're like, okay, I'm not fearing for this guy's safety.
Yeah, there's a point in time when that like all eyes are on BKFC. I don't want like. Now they got to start cleaning their act up a little bit. Remember when at the beginning when Dave Feldman like took money away from the fighter in the ring? Like he took the mic and was like, he didn't fight with action, so we're not giving him his win bonus. I'm like, that's fucked up. Like, you can't do that.
It was something like that. It was a gimmick at the beginning he kind of threw out there. It was
literally in the middle of the, like between fights, he spoke. Yeah. He goes, fought bad, not giving him his money. I'm like, dude,
or something like that.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So for a while, that like really rubbed me the wrong way.
But he did say he wound up giving him the money regardless to the guy. But I think I think he thought it would be like kind of a but like it just didn't work out. But credit to Bare Knuckle, dude. Mm-hmm. What was it? Bare Knuckle 41. I was at Bare Knuckle 1. I can't believe they're at 41, and they seem to be doing well.
Do they count the knuckle manias in this line of 41?
I don't even want to think about that.
But they branded knuckle mania. Like, we know what knuckle mania is. Like, what was this? Yeah. Is knuckle mania 3? I mean, like, bare knuckle, man. I was at their first show. It was cool. It was actually pretty well run. But I am pleasantly surprised that they're still thriving.
And they are. Because I remember for a while they had that weird camera that kept circling. Hated it.
They did it.
They don't use it as much.
There was moments tonight. I was like, don't do that. Don't do the revolving camera. That's bad. But hey.
Well, on that note, this has been Jose. This is Steven. This is Steven. That's Casey.
That's me.
I think we'll have on to the next one tomorrow. I don't honestly know. I believe Mike is still on. Still on vacation, AK and maybe AK Jed? And Jed.
Yeah, I think AK and Jed.
Great, you can go all yell at AK and Jed, and then the MMA Hour is back on Monday. We'll see you then.
Peace.
Hasta luego.
Happy birthday, AK. It's not my birthday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5.
only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.